So we're going to start, first of all, with number one. Who is the Spirit and what do we know about him? And for this one, we've got seven different, very short readings, seven different verses from starting from the beginning of the Bible and going nearly through to the end, which talk to us about the answer to that first question. Who is the Spirit? What do we know about him? Obviously, in the time we've got this morning, we can't say everything, but we'll try to say at least a little. So, where have we got number one? I think that's John. Now, if Tom can pass the microphone to John, and then you just pass the microphone on to the next one each time. Oh, okay, Philip's going to run around with it. That's even better.
The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters.
Thank you. So the Holy Spirit was there right from the very beginning of the world that God created. Although the Spirit came to Christians in a new way on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit wasn't new. Now, number two.
Samuel took the olive oil and anointed David. Immediately the Spirit of the Lord took control of David and was with him from that day onwards.
Thank you. So in Old Testament times, God's Spirit was given to certain special people, and in this case, the verse we've heard from Samuel, the case of King, it was King David, and usually the Spirit was given to a special person to enable them to do a particular important job that God had called them to do. Number three. Who's three?
Jesus was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in bodily form like a dove. Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him.
So Jesus, who is both human and divine, was filled with God's Spirit. It was the power of the Spirit that gave him strength and wisdom for what he was doing throughout his life, death, and resurrection here on earth. And number four.
Afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. At that time, I will pour out my Spirit, even on servants, both men and women.
So hundreds of years before Jesus' time, and many hundreds of years before now, the prophet Joel prophesied that Pentecost would come. There'd be a time when God would pour out his Spirit on everyone. There'd be a time when the Spirit wasn't just given to special people for special jobs. Number five.
Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit who reveals the truth about God. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and make you remember all that I have told you."
Thank you. Much later, Jesus also promised his followers the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he promised that the Holy Spirit would, first of all, reveal to us the truth about God, and also teach us and help us to remember everything that Jesus taught. Number six.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth.
Thank you. So there's more. The Spirit also comes to fill us with God's power and to enable us to be witnesses for Jesus, for God, wherever we are and as often as we possibly can. And then the last one, number seven.
God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people.
So we're told God's Spirit joins himself with our spirit to declare that we are God's children. And since we are his children, this means that we too can possess the blessings that God keeps for his people. All this we know about the Holy Spirit. And we can find out a lot more if we read the Bible and look for more information, because God's Spirit is a very important, essential, fundamental aspect of God himself. It's the Spirit of God, which is the part of God that dwells in us, is our daily helper and strength and our encouragement as we try to live the Christian life. So we certainly need him very much. So that brings us on to our second question. What happened on the day of Pentecost? And first, we're going to find out from the Bible story, and Rosemary's going to come and give our Bible reading today from Acts chapter 2.
Our reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited, because each one of them heard the believers speaking in his or her own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt, and from the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done." Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, "What does this mean?" But others made fun of the believers, saying, "These people are drunk." Then Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles and in a loud voice began to speak to the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, listen to me. And let me tell you what this means. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Instead, this is what the prophet Joel wrote about. "This is what I will do in the last days," God says. "I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and daughters will proclaim my message. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will have dreams. Yes, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will proclaim my message. I will perform miracles in the sky above and wonders on the earth below. There will be blood, fire, and thick smoke. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will turn red as blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And then whoever calls out to the Lord for help will be saved." Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. So at Pentecost, the Spirit was given to all the people gathered from many different places as a Christian community, and the Spirit was the unifying thing for that community, a Christian community then ready to be sent out across the world to evangelize and to form local churches. They had to cooperate, of course, using the many gifts and abilities given by God's Holy Spirit. And in the same way for us today, every local church is a community of diverse people, very diverse in most cases, diverse people working together for God, and the presence and work of the Holy Spirit is an essential, vital part of the local church community because it's what enables us to work together and to work with and for God. For the early Christians, of course, what happened on the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, was first and foremost an experience. It was something they experienced for themselves. It wasn't something they read about in a book. It wasn't a doctrine or a religion thing. It was something they actually experienced. And when Jesus was on earth, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit on his followers, and he promised that the Holy Spirit would do many things among them that they could actually experience. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was baptized, the Spirit of God came down like a dove and alighted on him. Jesus was equipped with the Spirit to do his work on earth. And when Jesus ascended back to heaven after the resurrection, his final instructions to his followers, given by the power of the Holy Spirit, were, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. So why was it so important for the disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or baptized by the Spirit, whichever words we use? And why is it the presence of the Holy Spirit equally important in the lives of Christians today and in our church congregations still today? Well, it's important, surely, because it's God's Holy Spirit who works in us, with us, and through us to enable us to be Christ's church in the world today. We can't do what God commanded us to do and what Jesus commanded his followers to do without the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded his followers to go into all the world everywhere to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe everything that Jesus commanded. And we can't do what Jesus commissioned his followers to do too, to be witnesses for him, starting where we are and continuing just as far as we can possibly get to. He told his followers to be witnesses for him, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and away to the ends of the earth. Without God's Spirit living in us and giving us power and strength and all the equipment that we need to do the job, we can't possibly do it, I think. God calls us to go out and serve him, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who enables us to do just that. And now let's look at the first part of question 3. So what difference did the events of Pentecost make? Well, on the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit made an immediate, huge difference to that group of believers who were waiting for this to happen in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had told them. Just as the presence of God's Spirit today also can make a real difference in our lives. So let's look at some of the things that the Holy Spirit can do for us and through us for the church today to enable us to do God's work in God's world. If you've looked at the New Testament and you know how many things the Spirit does help us with, you'll be relieved to know that I've only picked out 4 for us to think of for the next few minutes. There is much, much more, and we'd be here for a lot, lot longer. But the 4 I've picked out, the first one is power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power. That's precisely what Jesus said. When God's Spirit controls and directs our lives, God can work through us powerfully and achieve things that we by ourselves never could do. It's this power that the apostles were told to wait for in Jerusalem, and that they received and experienced on that first day of Pentecost. And the power we can see in their case changed them from a small, frightened group of about 120 believers meeting quietly together in Jerusalem, and sometimes we know behind locked doors as well, just for safety, to a group of about 3,000 people who on that day became the very beginning of the Church Universal and went out starting right where they were right at that time, with good news that was going to change the world. The Spirit gives us confidence to witness. And the second one I've chosen is strength. Paul, writing later to the people in Philippi, said, "I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me." What Paul soon discovered when the church sent him out to share the gospel through the Roman Empire, all the way to Rome itself, was that he did have strength to cope with the many difficult situations that he was going to run into. And if we read the book of Acts and the story of all that happened to Paul, he had plenty to cope with, for sure. By the power that Christ gave through the Holy Spirit, though, he was able to cope. And along with the strength came courage too at many of those difficult times. Then the third thing that was immediately obvious to the early Christians, the Holy Spirit gave guidance. We read in Acts chapter 16, "They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." Now that happened on the second missionary journey Paul and his fellow Christians went on, when they went back to visit some of the churches that they had founded on the first missionary journey. And their plan was that from there they should go further north in the country which we now call Turkey. But we read that the Holy Spirit did not let them go that way. The Holy Spirit directed them instead to the east coast, to a place called Troas. And when they got there, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, asking him to go over to Macedonia and help the people there. So they went straight away, because they concluded that God was calling them to preach the good news in that area. And because they were obedient to the Spirit's guidance, the gospel was taken from Turkey on into Europe, where the good news spread right across to Rome, the centre of the Roman Empire, and often with the Romans, across the Roman Empire, across Europe, even to small islands off the west coast of Europe, even to the place which today we call England and home. God had a much wider plan and vision for the spread of the gospel than those first apostles did. But it was their obedience to the Spirit's guidance that made it possible for God to carry out that plan. Enabling us to receive God's guidance and to follow God's plans is still one of the very important aspects, I think, of the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us today. Our part is to listen for the Spirit's guidance and to follow that guidance wherever God may lead. And the last one I've chosen, because I think it's a very nice one, is joy. Sometimes we put this lower down on the list. We're told that the early Christians had their meals together, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Well, I think in that respect, having our meals together and eating together, we do quite well. We do it quite frequently. So one of the first things that those early Christians experienced through the Spirit was joy. Life in the Spirit was new, it was different, it was exciting, and they shared the good news of what they'd experienced through the Spirit with lots of enthusiasm. And this, in turn, made them an attractive group of people. So as a result, we hear, every day the Lord added to their group those who are being saved. Today, when we look for churches that are growing here in England, we often find that it's still the churches where people are more fully experiencing the life in the Spirit that are still attracting people to join them. So our last question this morning, what difference does Pentecost make for us today? And I want to start the answer to this question with a little story, a true story that happened far away from us, but not too long ago. It was a hot, sunny Sunday morning on the island of Malaita in the eastern part of the Solomon Islands in the 1980s. And most of the local people had gathered for a service at the South Seas Evangelical Church, which was up the hill and quite close to the sea. The church in that area was having a time of renewal, and people had gone to worship that morning enthusiastically and expectantly. Ed Nash and his friend, both Australian missionaries working with the SSEC, had arrived on a small church boat the night before, and they went to worship too. While the service was still going on, a strong wind blew up, and Ed and his friend had the same thought. They were worried about the boat at the wharf. They were worried that the boat might be blown against the wooden wharf and damaged because they didn't know how well it was tied up. So they left the service together and they hurried down the hill to go and check the boat. When they got to the wharf, they saw that the boat was fine. And the boat was fine, as they quickly realised, because the wind wasn't blowing down by the wharf and the sea was calm and still. They were a bit puzzled about that, but since there was nothing to be done to make the boat safer, they walked back up the hill to the church. And when they got nearer, they were surprised to hear a sound of people crying. It wasn't until they went back into the service that they realised what was going on. Just as the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost had come to all believers gathered in one place, with a noise from the sky that sounded like a strong wind blowing and filled the whole house where they were sitting, so the Holy Spirit had come to the church during the morning service. And just as on the day of Pentecost, when Peter explained to the crowds of people who were there that the way to receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit, was to turn away from sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that their sins will be forgiven, so the people in the church that morning had been convicted of sin, and they were sorry about it and repentant. And that's why many of them were crying when Ed and his friend got back to the church. It was a modern Pentecost experience that turned the lives of all the people who were part of it really upside down and right around, just as the coming of the Holy Spirit in power must have done for all those present on that first Pentecost day in Jerusalem. The exciting thing about celebrating Pentecost today is that it's not just an event that took place long ago and far away. It's an experience that is still happening here and now. Now today, as we said, we've only had time to just touch on some of the differences that the presence and working of the Holy Spirit makes in people's lives. There is, in fact, all this that we've mentioned today, all this and even more that God wants to give us, his people, to enable us to live the Christian life to the full, to add another whole dimension to our lives. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given in a new way to all believers. Clearly, something had happened to them to change their lives. And everybody could see this and they experienced it. This change in the New Testament is described in a number of different ways. Sometimes it's described as if water is poured out, on, or into a person. Sometimes it's described in a way as if it's a gift being given and received, or even as if it's clothing being put on a person, new clothing being put on a person. But the most commonly used terms, are those that say in one form or another, the Holy Spirit is given and received. There's a change in our relationship with God. And this change is produced by God, and it's our part to receive it and live it. Do we still need this Holy Spirit power today to enable us to live and work for and with God in our church and in our lives? Surely our need is just as great as it was for those apostles in the early church. So let's make sure that as we've come into worship this morning, we ask God to fill us anew with his Spirit and to continue filling us with his Spirit day by day, so that we may go out to serve to serve God in our lives and in our church and in our community. And as we depart to serve, we depart filled with and equipped by the Holy Spirit to be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ here and now, starting right where we are in Enfield.